You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurscast. On today's episode, I will once again be going solo. In this episode, I'll be discussing a new report of the potential for Victor Wembanyama to be at Summer League, what position the Spurs will be targeting in free agency, and a new detail from the new CBA that's coming out that emerged that will apply to the San Antonio Spurs. So let's jump right into this episode, 701 of the Spurscast. All right. Here we go. All right. So it's topic number one. There's going to be multiple topics in this one. A lot of this information comes from Friday. There was a bunch of news on different outlets that I really want to get to that address the Spurs. And then, of course, I'll give my take on those by doing some research and talking about salary cap implications and things like that. All right. So the first topic is Wemby at Summer League. So according to Mark Stein on his Substack newsletter, he wrote this line in his latest newsletter from Friday. Regarding Wembanyama possibly playing at Summer League with the Spurs. He said, "The Spurs are hopeful, I'm told, that Victor Wembanyama will indeed be a participant to some degree in Summer League play in Las Vegas." So that's interesting because as we know, if you've been following Wemby over in his French league season, we know that his team got to the finals. They ended up losing in those finals, but he basically played a lot of basketball here. He played the regular season with this team, and then he plays in their playoff system. And so we didn't know for sure if maybe because they went the full length all the way to the finals, if you know, he would take the summer league off. But now this is interesting, this report from Stein, that there's a possibility that maybe Wemby ends up playing. So it could just mean that he goes to summer league with the team, and maybe he works out with the players, get some run in the practices, or maybe it means he plays in a game or two or multiple games. We don't know. There's a good chance of that. So we do know that the Spurs are going to be in two summer leagues this offseason. Starting on July 3rd, they're going to be in the California Classic Summer League, which is just two games against the Hornets on July 3rd, and then against the Lakers on July 5th. And then from July 7th through 17th, they're going to play in the Vegas Summer League, which usually is about, I think, like five games. Usually it's what takes place. Again, I don't know for sure if he's going to play those Vegas games, but like Stein says, you know, to some degree, he's going to be involved there with the Spurs. For a personal selfish reason, I hope he does play, because I'm actually going to be in Vegas for the first part of the summer league for a few days. So I'm actually hoping that when I'm there, Wemby ends up playing, just because I get to see him in person here. You know, that's just more so for selfish reasons. So I am hoping that he plays, but also it would just make summer league, I think, way more entertaining, more enjoyable if we know that Victor's going to play in one of those games. Even if it's just one game, that'll be really cool to see him out there on the NBA summer league floor. And if not, I mean, again, maybe he needs his rest and he doesn't end up playing, and so then we have to wait till October to see him. So that's just some good news if you are hoping that Wembanyama plays in the summer league. And just again, based on everything I've read before about him, that he has that work ethic where he wants to play. It's hard to keep him off the floor, so that's going to be really interesting to see if he does end up playing. So again, for selfish reasons, I'm hoping that he does play, just because I'll be there, especially if it's on those days that I'm there. All right. So our next topic, this is from an article on Friday that came out from Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. He had a line in there on his latest article. It was really about the Spurs and their chances of getting Chris Paul. And then just some potential players that they're not players that they're targeting, but positions that they're targeting. So he mentioned that the Spurs might be targeting a center this offseason. So I want to go ahead and go to his exact words. So again, this is from Fisher of Yahoo Sports. And then I'm going to tie it into a question I immediately got from a Spurs fan on Twitter. So this quote comes from Fisher's article on Friday, and I do want to note that I'm recording this on June 17th, this episode, a Saturday. So if there's new information that comes out after, then you all are aware of why that happened. So here we go. So here's his quote. Let me just fix this. Okay. So here's Fisher's quote. He says, "Further, there's a growing belief among league personnel that San Antonio will target starting centers this offseason, whether by trade or on the open market in free agency, to save Wembanyama from the brunt of battling against front court behemoths in his first season. The Spurs are also said to be high on Zach Collins' starting potential." So let's pick this part of his article apart a little bit, because I think there's a lot of interesting information in here. So for number one, that's interesting again to see that the Spurs may be looking at a starting level center. So there's all the teams that already have their starting level centers that they would have to explore in the trade market. Now, for this episode, I didn't actually dive into those teams just yet. I probably will in a future episode, but I did explore the some of the free agents that are starting centers in free agency. So what I did is I usually every offseason I create a list of like players mainly based on height in their and the potential free agents. And I looked at players again. For this episode specifically, I targeted players that are from 6'10 and above. That's how tall they had to be. And I went back and looked and saw, you know, this past season where they starting level centers. And that's kind of in a little bit, I'm going to show you a list of the players that I marked that I think that would be interesting for San Antonio to address that free agency part. And then I did want to know too about what Fisher mentioned there about Zach Collins. We know that before the Spurs knew they were going to get Wembanyama, Coach Pop, in that final week of the season, he basically went out and said, Zach Collins is a starting center next year. Now, things obviously may have changed now that they know they're getting Wembanyama. So Pop was probably just saying that, you know, because at that time they didn't know which draft pick they were going to have. But now that they know for sure they're having Wemby, maybe the organization is looking a little bit differently in a different direction in terms of do they want to have a different starting center out there. But like Fisher mentioned, you know, the Spurs were very high in the year on Zach Collins. He does have that non-guaranteed deal coming up for, I think it's like $7 million, and I don't expect them to waive him. So I think he's either going to be their starting center next year, or he'll at least be some an addition there behind Wembanyama or whoever that new five is, to provide some front court depth. So again, San Antonio is still high on Zach Collins. We don't expect to see him leave the team. And then now to tie in this question with from Twitter, this question was from at Oscar Trashcan. He has the Oscar the Grouch picture on his Twitter profile. So, you know, excellent there. So here's the question. Oscar the Trash Can asks, any chance of them, San Antonio, bringing back Jaka Pertl as a free agent? So this is an interesting question because this is one I've also gotten from other fans online. They wanted to know, are the Spurs allowed to bring back Pertl this coming offseason because they just traded him away? And, you know, there's always that criteria of the CBA where you're not allowed to bring a player back on your team unless like a full season has ended. So just to answer that question first, yes, the Spurs can bring Pertl back. And here's why. He was traded in February. And so you're not allowed to bring him back during that current season. So they couldn't bring him back from the 22 to 23 season. San Antonio was not allowed to do that unless he went to like a third team and they got waived. That was the only case. But now since a new season is beginning, the CBA does allow you to bring him back as an unrestricted free agent. So yes, to answer your question, the Spurs can bring him back. Now, what will it cost if they do want to bring him back? Again, I'm not reporting that they are, but if they were to go after Pertl, what would it take? It would take, according to Bobby Marks of ESPN, again, most likely a salary in the range of $15 to $20 million per year is what Pertl's going to be looking at as an unrestricted free agent. So we know that the Raptors are probably going to be very aggressive in trying to bring him back just because they already traded a first round pick for him. So they probably want him back just because they already spent assets to go and get him. But they knew this was the gamble they were taking, that he was going to be an unrestricted free agent. They didn't have a chance to extend him. So there is a chance that maybe the Spurs or another team, you know, goes after him and just pursues him aggressively with the big offer like that. So again, if the Spurs want Pertl back, they would have the cap space to do that. They would have to clear, you know, they can clear anywhere from like, I think it's like $23 million to like 40 something million in cap space. So yes, they could definitely get that number of $15 to $20 million, somewhere in that range, to get Pertl. And I think it would be a benefit just because he's a good defensive center there. And you let, you know, Wemby will be there as the four to do a lot more on the offensive end. Pertl already knows the Spurs' system. He's been there. He was their anchor for most of his time when he was there with San Antonio. So there's familiarity. So I think, yeah, he'd be a good option if the Spurs did bring him back. Again, I don't know for sure if they will. Another player, I've gotten mentions about this player on Twitter, and also I think he's a good starting center, is Brook Lopez of the Milwaukee Bucks. He is an unrestricted free agent as well this offseason. And what's interesting for San Antonio is that he can the Spurs can basically outbid Milwaukee for him if that's what it takes in free agency. So we know that according to Bobby Marks that using his bird rights, the Bucks can only extend him for 3 years. For $54 million, which comes out to $18 million per season. So if you're another team like the Spurs that wants to try to sign Lopez away from the Bucks, then you have to probably throw a deal that starts over $18 million, because that's more than what Milwaukee can sign him for. Now, according to the a lot of the different podcasts that I've been listening to, different outlets like Yahoo, ESPN, The Ringer, also like just different outlets. I've heard that from those outlets that it looks like right now early signs are that the Bucks do want to bring back Lopez and also Chris Middleton. So right now it looks like that he would want to go back to Milwaukee. And you look at his case. He's 35 years old. He's been with the Bucks. He knows their system. They're still a championship level team with Giannis there in his prime. So I could understand why he would definitely want to re-sign with Milwaukee. So that's why if you're a young team like the Spurs, you're obviously using the money to try to get him, because you're trying to sign away from Milwaukee to leave that chance of contending for a championship right now, and instead being like a foundation to help out, help Wemby grow into the system, into the NBA kind of life in the first 1 to 3 years. So that's why you want to try to convince him to come join a young team like the Spurs, who's up and coming. And that's what they would have to do, is basically use the more money part of it if they want to try to sign a player like Brook Lopez. That's if San Antonio has any interest in him. Another player who I found interesting that's going to be a free agent, or could be a free agent, I don't know if he will, is Kristaps Porzingis. He has a player option this offseason for $36 million that he has to decide on by June 21st. So basically, again, I'm recording this on June 17th. So he has 4 days to make that decision if he's going to opt in or opt out. According to Bobby Marks, if he does opt out, then...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Maybe he wants some long-term security. So maybe he could seek a lower salary in year one, like at $27 million, as Marks mentioned. And so that's why if he opts out, then I think that's where if you're a San Antonio or a team that wants to sign Porzingis, then you would look at 27 to like $36 million, which is way more than what Poeltl or probably Brook Lopez would get. So again, your Porzingis would cost you as a team more to try to sign him. And then if he opts into his player option, well, then he's going to be on the Wizards roster. Then of course you would have to try to trade for him if you want him. So again, there's no rumor that the Spurs want Porzingis. I think in the past there was a rumor when he was still at the Knicks that the San Antonio was one of those teams that had interest in him. But again, I don't know if it works so well alongside Wemby. He's a really good player, more offensively talented than probably Lopez and Poeltl, but doesn't give you like that backbone of defense that the other two players do. So again, I just find his name interesting in terms of starting level center. So that's why again, I'm paying attention to these specific players. Another player who's a starting level center is Nikola Vucevic of the Chicago Bulls. He is also an unrestricted free agent. He's going to be 33 this coming season. And I just don't know. I don't know any specific salary of where he's going to start at, what his level would be, because we know he's a former All-Star, but you know, he's not quite that level anymore at this point of his career. So I would just say, because there's no salary range for him, I would say he's more in that Poeltl kind of camp where you, or like Lopez, like 15 to 20 million is probably what you have to try to have available if you want to try to go out and sign Nikola Vucevic against away from the Bulls. Again, that's if San Antonio were to have interest in him. And the last player he's a starting level center. He started for a lot of games for the Mavericks last year. Is Dwight Powell. He's still pretty young. He's 31. He's 6'6", 10. I don't know exactly how much you would need to sign him. I think he's definitely a player who would command a little bit more than the MLE, which is going to be $12.2 million this offseason. So I think a deal north of 12 to like $15 million is probably what Powell's seeking in free agency. So again, those are some starting level centers that I see that would, if this is the Spurs are targeting in terms of free agency, those are some players who come to mind. I haven't had a chance to look at the trade, who they want to look at as far as for trading for, but these are some players that are interesting. And again, that also answers Oscar the Trash Can's question there about Poeltl. Yes, the Spurs can bring him back if they wanted to try and resign him. So again, that's interesting. That's something to keep an eye on, is starting level centers, whether it's in a free agency, trade, or even maybe in the draft. Maybe the Spurs try to move up for a pick. Maybe they want a starting a center there. All right, so that was the second topic. Let's go to our third topic. Now, this one doesn't apply specifically to the Spurs, but it's one also that I've been asked about from multiple people. So this one comes from a report on Friday as well from Bleacher Report's Chris Haynes. He's saying that the Indiana Pacers are putting the seventh pick on the table for a trade, and here's what they want in return. So according to Chris Haynes of Bleacher Report on Friday, he wrote, "The Indiana Pacers have made the number seven pick available for a trade, sources tell Bleacher Report. The Pacers are said to be in the market for a starting caliber wing." And of course, you hear starting caliber wing if you're a Spurs fan, and they fans already been asking me. But of course, we know that Devin Vassell is not going to be on the trade block for San Antonio. So then the next player is a younger player too, who just signed an extension last year, and that's Keldon Johnson. So that's the player that I've been asked about by different people. If the Spurs could swing a trade with Indiana for Keldon Johnson and that number seven pick, how would that work? And so I'm just going to mainly be here to answer that question of how does it work if that's the case. So there's two timelines that the Spurs and Pacers, if they were to agree to a deal like that, like Keldon for the number seven pick, how it worked. There's the first to get a deal done before July 1st. So if you're doing a deal before July 1st, well, then we know that Keldon Johnson's season salary for this current season was $3.8 million. So you got to find a deal that has $3.8 million or kind of matches up there if you're Indiana. And if you're doing a deal after July 1st, after the new season begins, then Keldon's new salary in 23-24 bumps up to $20 million. So to answer this question, there's two routes. If the Spurs and Pacers were to do a deal before July 1st, then a player from Indiana would need to be sent back close to like that $3 million range. So that a player like that could be a role player like Jordan Nwora, who only has 1 year left on his deal at $3.2 million. So again, you could see the Pacers sending Jordan Nwora and the seventh pick for Keldon in this scenario. And what this does is if they do this before July 1st, well, then this gives the Spurs more control of that seventh pick in terms of they would be the ones who get to decide exactly who they want to draft with that seventh pick. Is there a player that they've been trying to move up to get? I don't know where he's supposed to go because I haven't done an updated mock draft, but I know a player that they've worked out for sure is Jairus Walker, who plays the center position. So I don't know if he's supposed to go. I haven't done my mocks recently in a few weeks, but I don't know if he's supposed to go not fall to seventh, but if he is in that seventh range, well, then, hey, there's a player right there. That just comes to mind. I'll be able to ask one of our draft experts, Benjamin Bornstein, also in the future about that if the Spurs were to move up to that position. So again, San Antonio has a little bit more control with that pick. If they were to get that done before July 1st, that would be the incentive to do that now. Or if they wait till after July 1st, then this part would require the Pacers not to send back a player to San Antonio, because now that when the offseason begins on July 1st, the Pacers can open up to $27.1 million in cap space, which means they could absorb Keldon Johnson's $20 million salary. So that's exactly how it would work, the two timelines. Again, the Spurs and Pacers, if this was the trade package proposal, they could get a deal done either before July 1st, which requires Indiana sending a player, or after July 1st, which doesn't require the Pacers sending a player. Now, in terms of my opinion on this, if I'm Indiana, I don't know if that's enough for the seventh pick. So just Keldon. So maybe they're asking for a second round pick. Maybe they're asking for a future protected first. Again, I'm not quite sure what is needed to get a deal done, or are the Pacers getting better offers from other teams in terms of starting caliber wing. So again, those are the questions that I'm asking if I'm on the Pacers' side. So I don't know if that quite gets it done. But again, just to answer that question that I've been getting asked about, that's how a deal would get done if the Spurs and Pacers were looking at a deal for Kelton for the 7th pick. And again, I'm not reporting that they are. It's just a question that I've been getting asked a lot, and I wanted to answer it here on the Spurs Cast. And the final topic here is also a new detail that has emerged about the CBA that Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports reported on. And it's something I kind of addressed, but now that there's a new timeline that I want to get to in terms of this new detail. So according to Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, this has to do with the minimum team salary. So let's listen to what he said. He said, or wrote, another facet of the new CBA will mandate all teams reach the season's salary cap floor, 90% of the overall budget, prior to training camp. So this is interesting because the NBA they haven't put out the actual full CBA agreement yet. And you know, July 1st is almost here. They should have had it out by now, so it's taking a little bit longer. And so what this means is what it does is they had sent a memo out a few weeks ago, or about a month ago, I would say, where they said that you needed to be at the minimum team salary by opening night. So what this does, this new report from Fisher, is that it kind of moves the timeline up by a little bit, by about 2 weeks. So we know that opening night is usually about mid-October, you know, using the 15 to like 20s, that date range. And so that's when you should be at the minimum team salary. Now Fisher's reporting that you need to be there by training camp, which is usually about October 1st, or like the last few days of September, September 29th, 28th, that kind of range. So that kind of means that a team like the Spurs, who are projected to have salary cap space, they need to be at that 90% salary, minimum team salary, by training camp. So that makes it more of a priority to spend your money, whether it's going out and signing free agents, whether it's trading for players on big contracts. Then yes, there is an incentive this in terms of how you're addressing this offseason in July in terms of meeting that floor. Now, what happens if you don't meet that floor, that minimum team salary? Then you will only get 50% of the tax distribution if you're a team like the Spurs. So that's why there is an incentive. You do need to try to reach that limit before that new date of training camp. So what do the Spurs need to do? How does this apply to them? Well, the minimum team salary is 120.6 if we have a $134 million salary cap. So if the salary cap comes out as it is projected at 134, then the Spurs need to get to 1.26 or more in team salary by the time training camp comes. So the Spurs right now, they could reach that easily if they have all their cap holds. That's basically all those free agents that are still on the roster, like Romeo Langford, cap hold, Trey Jones, Mamu, all those kind of players. Now, if those players walk away, which again, we don't expect all those players to re-sign with San Antonio. If those free agents walk away, then the Spurs do have to meet a number. They have to meet $22.6 million to get up to that $120.6 million number. So again, the Spurs will have to either go out and sign some free agents or trade for some players with large contracts in order to get to that number. Because again, I know that, you know, they don't want to be that team that gets penalized by missing out on a 50% tax distribution. So yes, that's interesting. Again, a note, because we know that for sure, I think San Antonio will be more aggressive in terms of adding salary to the team, whether that's by trade or by signing free agents. So again, I think that it's not going to be one of those quiet summers where the Spurs have 20 plus million in cap space going into training camp. They have all this money and they're not spending it, just like we saw this past year. Now there is an incentive for teams like the Spurs, who will have salary cap space, to spend that money. So again, this is just an episode, again, just to kind of get through a lot of different new reporting. I found it very interesting. And also, like, that detail about the CBA was very interesting to me. We'll continue to record more Spurs casts. I'm going to try to get an episode up before the draft comes on Thursday, trying to get our draft expert Ben Bornstein on the podcast. I'm going to try. I know that schedules are always a little bit difficult at this time of year. Everybody's busy with the draft coming up and then free agency and all that. So I'm going to try to get a draft episode up. If not, I'll also be recreating short videos on YouTube anytime there's like new trade rumors or things like that coming out, just because this is the time now. These next two to like 4 weeks are going to be a bit wild here with the Spurs' names and different rumors and things like that. So thanks for listening to this episode of the Spurs Cast. I also want to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.